Turn your Bible with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Enemy of the U.S. gloat over our financial crisis. As a matter of fact, I'm going to quote this for you. "We are witnessing collapse of an American empire," said Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh. Isn't that nice of them to gloat over our difficulty? Yes, exactly. "The U.S. is experiencing most serious financial crisis since the Great Depression in 1929. Our enemy knows they smell the blood like a bloodthirsty shark in the water. They spin around, they do everything they can. Wall Street stock once again dipped down on Wednesday, 700 some point. It's the second biggest dipping down and in a single day, and the worst percentage fall in the two decades. Ravaged by the fear, the world's biggest economy is slipping into recession. Just watching the stock market going up and down about to give me a whiplash. Goes one moment up and the next moment down. You cannot depend on the Wall Street stock. If you're depending on that, you get to have an ulcer in a matter of 2 minutes. In light of what's happening in the economy and the political world, we have to wonder what next situation is going to be. At the same time, many people try to read between the line when there's nothing in between the line. Folks, there is no topic of Scripture that receives more overzealous interpretation than the end time prophecy, also known as eschatology. Many people are anxious to know about what's going to happen. Almost they treat end time prophecy like some sort of crystal ball, Christian crystal ball. Folks, there is no such a thing as a crystal ball that tells you the future. If you ever think that the crystal ball gives you the future, you are mistaken. Does it mean that we are not living in the end of the age before the rapture happened? I firmly believe that we are literally living in the last days. I don't doubt that. But I want to caution you that we should not neglect what we're supposed to do for the sake of excitement of the what might happen next. Okay? Tonight, once again, Apostle Peter exposed the ignorance of scoffers and unbelievers. Not only they are ignorant of what God has done in the past, they are ignorant who God is. Just like today. See, since they make their own gods with their own hands, they put the limitation on what the God's supposed to be like. They don't know our God, who knows all things, who can do all things, who can be present in any time, anywhere. They don't know who our God is. So their mindset cannot fathom that kind of thing. So we'll start at the verse 8 of chapter 3, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up tonight's study to you. We're asking Holy Spirit's anointing be upon me and our brothers and sisters in this place. Open our heart to receive your insight and your wisdom, that we may understand beyond our own comprehension. Let us not chase this shadow or the alluring things in the stock market or the political world, but let our eyes to be a focus be on Jesus, who lead us to the path of righteousness and path of holiness for your name's sake. We're asking your guidance. We're asking your strength during this difficult time. And we also lift up our youth group. As Merrill Simon, our elder, is leading those young people, you bless them and empower them and let your truth be known to every one of them. And anyone who do not know you, anyone who does not know you, may come to know Jesus tonight. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and thousand years as one day. I'm just hoping that God doesn't say that wait one more day now. Peter was quoting this verse from the Psalm 90, verse 4. Psalm 90, verse 4. It's truly hard to grasp the idea outside of time we are living in. Everything we do is limited by time, which we cannot ignore, nor we can deny. See, that is why unbelievers has a great deal of difficulty to accept the first verse of the Bible. First verse of the Bible, you guys all know that, so you don't even have to turn it. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Okay, let's think that thing logically. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. They don't have a problem God creating it, but where did God come from? Who made God? How did he get there? It says that in the beginning. That means to make him, to have him to be there, somebody had to do something to make his presence known there. So who made God? Or God made him, and where did it come from? They cannot understand. Why? Because their mindset is within the realm of what? Time. There's no such a thing as before the beginning. To God, that's nothing. Because he lives outside of our time limit. How many of you guys heard the fifth dimension? The word, fifth dimension. Fifth dimension means, okay, let's start with just philosophical thing. Dot without size, just concept of dot, that was the first dimension. When dot moves to the one direction, that is the second dimension. Are you with me so far? Don't give me the glazing look. And when that thing moved to one direction and the same time moving to the another direction, that becomes third dimension. That's what the mass is, what our body is. And fourth dimension would be when the mass starts to move. It requires time. When you add mass plus time, that's become fourth dimension. God does not live in the fourth dimension. That's where we live. We cannot think outside a box, of that time box. But God lives outside the fifth, he lives in the fifth dimension, where time is not cannot contain him. Can you understand that so far? Some people looking at, I'm not going to say anything. How can God be created? How can God be there to create heaven and earth before the beginning? God has neither beginning nor ending. He is eternal. But man requires beginning. Man requires a beginning. Listen carefully, please. God, man requires a beginning, even though he is immortal. Yes, I said immortal. You know why? Let me explain to you. What do I mean, that immortal? Man has a beginning, but does not have an ending. Because either he will live forever in heaven or in hell. We have a beginning, but we don't have an end. As long as that person have a soul, that soul will, spirit will live either heaven or hell. Eternity is not extended time. Don't think that there's a time clock, some sort of time clock in heaven that spins around telling us what year that is. All of a sudden we pretty much go out of that time limit. It's not extended time, rather it's existence is above and apart from time we can understand. Am I making sense? Okay. Remember when we were a kid long ago, like that child, anxiously waited for her birthday and Christmas. And to her, it never comes. It doesn't come to her fast enough. To us, I thought we just had a birthday or Christmas. My wallet is still empty from the Christmas. And it's time again to buy things. I remember not very long ago, we had the New Year's Eve gathering, praying, on, you know, all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, now it's the middle of October. What happened? When the time go by? And now we are about to have a 7th year anniversary for the church. Not very long ago, I remember we were having a Bible study, studying a Bible study at the Pam's home. And that we had 8 people. What is the reason we think that God is not affected by the time, but we are? Let's go to Exodus 3, please. Exodus 3:14, huh? Yeah, if you don't think you're affected by time, just look at yourself in the mirror next day. Yep. Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, note that 5 words very carefully. I am who I am. And some of your versions, I am that I am. And, And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Note the word, tense, mode. It says I am. It didn't say I was or I will. I am. No matter what time period human, God is present, there, present all the time, above a timetable. Let's continue in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count of slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. And underline the rest of the verse for me, please. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you might want to jot down the reason for God's patience there. The reason for God's patience. Folks, the Lord is not slow, he's patient. The Lord is not tardy, he is deliberately waiting. The Lord is not indifferent, he is merciful. He is holding back the event of the end to give as many people as possible opportunity to believe in his Son. I'm so glad that God didn't send his Son for the rapture in 1986. If that was the case, I would be in hell. Because I got saved in 1987, somewhere in January. It's worth noting that God revealed that same long-suffering in the years before Noah's flood. He saw the violence and wickedness on earth. So did he just slam his sledgehammer on the earth and then killed everybody with the flood? How long did it take for him to release the flood? 120 years. He sent the preacher of righteousness, Noah, to tell all the people who come along about the salvation in God for 120 years. That's God's patience. And in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, remember the conversation between God and Abraham standing at the hill and then looking down at Sodom and Gomorrah, and God, we believe that he's a Christophany, that's a fancy word for Christ in the Old Testament in human form. They were negotiating, pretty much negotiating. Abraham started with a 50 and 40. Start with a 50, 45, 50, 40, 35, 30. And goes down and then he said a 10. And Abraham was probably absolutely sure. I'm sure there are 10 righteous people in the Sodom and Gomorrah, so that the rest of them don't have to be killed. But they couldn't even find the 10 people. pretty much dragged out the four people out of that place. God waited for them. God waited for us with his patience. This is the reason why God deliberately delaying. He's not jumping at his feet to destroy the human being as we would. Whether we would like to admit it or not, Jesus died for the one whom we think they shouldn't be saved. I can think a lot of people. Whenever I think about that, I give a praise to the Lord and give glory to him for his patience, for his kindness. Sometimes in my narrow and prejudiced mind, I ask the Lord, how can you love those people? The Holy Spirit reminds me, in the same way I have loved you. And then I say, this conversation is over. Can we move on to the next subject? In the same way he loved me. Remember, before you became a born-again Christian, before I became a born-again Christian, what were we? Sinners. Were we enemy of God? Yes. Well, so what were we different than they are now? Not a zip. Not a thing. We may not have a same idea, but we, in God's eyes, we were sinners. God loved them just like he loved us. The Lord is waiting. The Lord is waiting for us to share the good news of salvation through Jesus with others so that they can put their faith in him. So, as I said on Sunday morning, it is your great commission to share the good news of Jesus Christ. If you don't know how, maybe you should learn. It's simple. It's not that difficult. If you have a bulletin from our church at home, just read that little blurb on the bottom in the box. Or you cannot find it, go on the web. You can find it rather easily. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. It is true that God, in his generous mercy, is waiting patiently for us. As Peter assured that even the God's patience will someday come to end abruptly, and it will stop. And it will the end of the God's patience. So when is this going to happen? Jesus and Apostle Peter both tell us that it will happen like a thief in the night. As far as I know, no average thief would not notify his or her arrival to the owner of the house. In other words, the end will come certainly, unexpectedly, surprisingly, and tragically. Of course, this will happen right after the millennium, according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 8. I hand out the chart there, please. Right? You have a chart? Can you share with me, please? Second page. Okay, second page is the Chronicle chart 2. Start with a chapter, this one. Here's the rapture happen. From the rapture, and from here, the top portion is what's happening in the heaven. Bottom portion is what's happening on earth. This has nothing to do with any other book. It's only limited in the Revelation. Everything is written here. Anything you mention in the Bible and the book of Revelation is written in chronological order. And some of you may disagree. That's fine. It's okay for you to disagree. And then at the half of the tribulation, 3.5 years, the abomination of desolation will happen. That continues in chart 2. and continues to happen here. And at the end of the seven-year tribulation, second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you follow me here? From the second coming of Jesus Christ, thousand-year rest happened. It's known as a millennium. You with me? During the time, people who survive through tribulation, they actually still have a physical body. They populate the earth. But those who are born again Christians who went up to heaven with the rapture with the Jesus Christ, we no longer have a human body like this, but we will have a glorified like Jesus Christ. That means we will thank God, right? That means we are not going to populate the earth because we are different. We're going to be different. We are no longer limited by the...
we get to.
CJ has a problem with the children lately, so... After the millennium, several things happen. Okay, after the millennium, several things that if you can take a look at here. There's a verse 21, 1 through 8. All things, heaven and earth, will be made new. Verse 20, chapter 21, 9 through 27. New Jerusalem descending from heaven. Apostle John gave a description of the New Jerusalem and the glory of God. And goes on. There's many things happen. And the white throne judgment. It also happened that time. I don't know which one will come ahead. That, to me, that doesn't matter. Because I'm not the one who's going to get the judgment from God. This is for the unbelievers. You with me on that? Okay. Right before 21, chapter 21, verses 1 through 8, before he created new heaven and earth, that's the time when God will destroy the old earth and heaven. He's making everything new. All things have passed away, and then everything is new. Then you may say, if that's the case, everyone who lives through that tribulation time and the millennium time will know that when it's going to happen. Well, that is true. If you live there, but nobody knows when the rapture is going to happen, correct? Anybody knows when the rapture is going to happen? Anybody here? I said anybody. Snackpot. Okay, nobody knows except Father in heaven. Because nobody knows, nobody can guess when is going to the tribulation start or end, and nobody knows when the millennium will end either. That means nobody knows the day, that time. Let's move on to the verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person you are to be in, next line need to be, next phrase need to be underlined, holy conduct and godliness. Holy conduct and godliness. Folks, this is it. The purpose of the end time prophecy is the purpose, that's the reason. We learn this so that we can live our lives to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Having holy conduct and godliness. As I said before, prophecy is not to satisfy our interest, but prophecy is for our holy living and godliness. All born-again Christians believe that the rapture and second coming of Jesus Christ. We all believe that, right? But the purpose of prophetic truth is not the speculation, but motivation. The purpose of truth is not speculation, but motivation. All Christians agree that this faith in future glory ought to motivate the church. Now, the marching order, our marching order can be summed up in three commands. Oops, I didn't write down. I didn't do it correctly. Marching order can be summed up in three things. Number one, clean up, look up, and speak up. Let me say again. Clean up, look up, and speak up. What's to clean up for? Clean up your life. Look up with expectation. Speak up. Share what you know about God with godliness and holy conduct. Since we don't know the time of and the day or hour of God's return, we must constantly be ready. The believers who start to neglect the blessed hope will gradually develop the cold heart. I'm sure you can name the few people who backslidden. Where are they? Are they miserable? Yes. Probably they are the most miserable people in the world. The backslidden Christians are the most miserable people. Why? Because they are halfway in the world. They are halfway in the Christianity. They are being bombarded by the Holy Spirit in their heart. They are convicted day in, day out. And the people in the world think that this is backslidden Christians, so they don't want to hang around with them. They are most miserable people. And if they continue, they will be like a scoffers, and they will be like unbelievers. They will laugh at the promise of God. We must live differently from the people in the world. Why? Because the world is not our home. We are pilgrims. We are the strangers of this world. This is not our home. Our home is heaven, where Jesus is. We are heading for the better world and a city built by the God, and architect and builder is God. Christians should be different, not odd. I really fouled up in this thing, so I apologize. Yeah, Christians should be different, not odd. Yeah. No, not weird. Not weird people. When we are different, we attract people. When we are different, we attract people. But when we are odd or weird, we repel them. I've seen enough weird Christians on the street. Haven't you? And especially when you go down to U of A, there's somebody who called himself a Christian. They just walk around and condemn people with the pretty much foul language. That's not going to attract people. Jesus never did that. Our conduct should be characterized by holiness and godliness. Holiness and godliness. Let's go to verse 12. Sorry, I goofed up on that thing. Looking for hastening, underline hastening, the coming of the day of God, because of which the heaven will be dissolved, being on fire, and the element will melt, underline melt, please, with a fervent heat. Peter says that there is a sense in which we can hasten the Lord's coming. It's a remarkable thing to think. It's a remarkable thing to think that we can actually do something to help God to come sooner. In the immediate context, what Peter is saying is we can hasten the Lord's coming by our holy conduct and godliness. So this brings up the important point, a question in our heart. Does it mean that we actually can change God's timetable of the rapture and the rest of the end time event to come sooner? My answer is yes and no. Depends on from which point of view you're looking at. If it's from our point of view, we are making change for the coming of the day of God in His plan, making sooner. However, the answer is no. If you look at it from the God's point of view, nothing is changed because He knows what we would pray for and how we would live before the creation of the universe. So He made a timetable according to His foreknowledge. Let me make a good example. Remember Jonah? God told him to go to Nineveh. Let's say he was in Jerusalem, and to Nineveh is about, say, I don't know, if you hop on the car and drive, it probably will get there in a few days, right? let's say there was a time, 2 weeks traveling time. So Nineveh people would get saved in 2 weeks. What did he do? He hopped on the ship, he went down to Joppa, he went down to the bottom of the ship, and then he was thrown overboard, and he went down to the bottom of the sea, and went down to the bottom of the stomach of the fish. Whenever we run against God's will, we go down and down and down. All right? On top of all, he had to pay the expense. Whenever we go against God's will, it costs us something. You with me? So he went against God. I don't know how many days he's been away from God. At least we know 3 days he was inside the stomach with seaweed wrapped around his head, looked like a sushi. But he was inside of the stomach of this fish and stayed there. So 3 or 4 days. Now, when he was puked out, that's exactly what happened. When he was puked out on the seashore, he did. A lot of people think that he was puked out on the seashore of Nineveh. Nineveh does not have a sea. Nineveh does not have a sea. He had to travel wherever, how long distance, so he had to travel again back to Nineveh. From wherever, the Mediterranean seashore, where he was gurgitated out, and he had to travel from there. So all that time, so does it mean God changed the plan? No. God knew all of that, so he made it happen that way. You have a question? Nineveh is probably somewhere in Iraq area. Mesopotamia? Yeah. It was inland. There's no sea around. So I was right in Iraq area. Yeah, so with the food, it's a long time. No shower, thank you. And he still had that sushi look. Remember, guys, no matter what we do, God already knew that before the creation of the universe. So to him, it's not changing the time. He just simply made the timeline. He allowed us to think that God to change his mind. It's like, think about it this way. You're playing with a child. And you, no, I don't want to go, but your child says, Daddy, let's go. Mommy, let's go. You meant to go, but you just want to see how the child acts. So you go along with the child. God knew everything in advance because he's full knowledge. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? Okay. To us, we think that we are changing God's mind. We think that God is relenting. He simply knew everything from the beginning. Second half of the verse 12 give us a preview of the coming event. I don't believe that earth will be destroyed by some trigger-happy military leader who would push the button to activate a thermonuclear bomb to destroy earth. Remember, we have enough thermonuclear bombs to destroy the earth 17 times over. We really have, all around the world, we have enough nuclear bombs to destroy the earth 17 times over. But it's not going to be destroyed by these nuclear bombs, but it's going to be destroyed by God's fire. How he's going to do it, I don't know. But I'm sure it's going to be a sight to watch. Yeah, I'm sure. By the way, the Jehovah's Witness, in their doctrine, they said that after this Messiah comes, and they will live on earth happily ever after. I don't know what kinds of earth they are going to live on, because it ain't going to be this one, because it will be going up in the smoke. Let's continue verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Folks, I haven't traveled a whole lot since I came to the United States in 1981. But wherever I go to a new place, I see beautiful scenery. I'm struck by the awestruck by the God's creation. According to Revelation 21:1-8, the new heavens and earth is going to make old one look like nothing. Yes, I went to the Grand Canyon, looked down and saw this beautiful creation. Some people call it a billion years. It took a billion years to do that. I said, no, it's a stroke of God's finger. God made it happen, and we think that something else made it happen. Let's go to the chapter 21, verse 1 in Revelation. Let's read that portion. Revelation 21. One through eight. Now I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, as we just talked about. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for this word are true and faithful. Verse 6, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, and sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in their lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Folks, remember this, please. Remember, heaven is not heaven because heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. Hell is hell because Jesus is not there. I don't want to go to heaven if Jesus is not going to be there. Certainly, I don't want to go to hell because I know he won't be there. A lot of people think that, well, I'm going to have a party with my brewski buddies. There ain't going to be a party. They're going to be in utter isolation from everyone. And there will be a torment. Let's make applications. Number one, clean up your life. Ask myself, is there anything that I need to clean up? I am sure I can find many of them. I'm sure you can find many of them. After all, you are not perfect, are you? Are any of you perfect? Second thing, look up, expect his coming. Look up, expect his coming. Third, speak up every chance you get because his coming will not be delayed forever. He's coming back. Would you be ready? Would you be ready? You better. Because he can come. By the way, don't ever think that temple had to be built in Jerusalem first before Jesus come. No. That's during the tribulation time. Don't ever think that everyone should hear the gospel message around the wall before Jesus come. No. That will happen tribulation time. Everyone will hear. every the last person who was supposed to be saved, yeah, then. There's not one prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. Don't think that Gog and Magog mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39 has to happen before the rapture happens. It has nothing to do with the timeline before the rapture or after the rapture. It can happen any time before and after. Let me just say this to you in side note. Just no extra charge for this. The way I look at it, I hate to admit this, there's a great, great chance Obama will end up in the White House. Yeah, I mean, let's speculate, okay? Let's speculate. If Obama goes into the White House, and I don't care what kind of promise he's making to the Jewish people, but he will stand against Jewish people, then also this is the fact, Iranian, that idiot guy over there, he's doing everything within his power to make the nuclear bomb to be available as a warhead to attach it on their missile. They already have a missile, Soviet missile, that can reach out and touch people in Jerusalem. It is no wonder why that he said, bless you, he says that they can wipe out Israel from the face of the map. It is ready, except the nuclear warhead. Military of the Jews, Israel knows this, and they know that window time is between November and December. Now, the problem is between Israel and Iran, which is behind the Iraq, the Israeli fighter jet cannot fly to the Iran directly without refueling in the air. Who has a refueling tank in that region? America. So far, George W. Bush says no to Israel. He would not sell the refueling tank. He would not allow them to have a refueling in the middle of the air. Israeli people are very cunning, very smart people. They will find a way. If they're ever going to attack Iran before the preempt strike, before the nuclear warhead be loaded into the missiles, when the time is in November, December, before inauguration of the next president. You with me? Let's say they successfully attacked Iran and destroyed the missiles and nuclear warhead. If that's the case, remember that there's a joint venture going on between Iran and who? Russia. Who is Gog or Magog known in the... Magog is a kingdom. Gog is the king of the Magog. In the history of modern history, there is no association between Russia and Iran. No, formerly known as the Persian kingdom. No tie whatsoever. For the first time, they are working together now. Just like the prophecy declared. So, if the Iran get attacked, their border is connected to the southern Russia. Russia will invade Israel. And God will protect Israel. For how? Again, that will be quite a sight to watch. Folks, everything is set. By the way, if you've been playing with the internet lately, nowadays you can pretty much streamline the movies and you can watch on internet the movies without grainy part. Without all this difficulty, sometimes it goes and stop, and they have to reload again and streamline. I watched the TV episode on the. I have to see it because if the speed is good enough, I have a coaxial connection. I didn't have one problem watching the scenario episode. In other words, whatever happened on the street of Jerusalem during the second half of the tribulation time, two witnesses will be killed, correct? After they did all this miracle, it was time for them to get killed. And it says people around the world watch them, their body on the ground. How could they? Internet, folks. It would be televised through internet. Better than TV. TV is nothing nowadays. I guarantee within a year, you can watch a full motion picture on internet by simply buying it. You don't even have to go to the theater unless you want to be surrounded by that humongous screen. That's up to you. But I said this to a friend of mine, whoever can streamline, whoever can compress the file small enough for them to download these motion pictures will be a billionaire. I was right. Now it's compressed. They're compressing without any trouble. Now they're streamlining without any problem, so anybody can watch it. Before, this was not possible. Everything is set. As Daniel said, Book of Daniel said, knowledge will increase, people will go to and fro. Before 1948, Israel was not available, so the prophecy could not be fulfilled. During the World War II, people thought that Hitler is Antichrist. During the, some people thought that Ronald Wilson Reagan was the 666, and he's the Antichrist. And some people said a certain presidential candidate is Antichrist. No, it has to come from Europe. Everything is set, all the basic ground rule is met. There's nothing holding God back coming to get us. Be ready, be watchful, and share. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Let us look up, let us clean up, let us speak up. We love you, we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.